Yalla Leap Podcast.
Yalla Leap Podcast.
Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
In a minute. Sean Spears. Chair shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
One, two, three, can save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
What is up, guys? Welcome to this week's edition of the All Elite Podcast right here on the WWE Podcast. I am your host. My name is Jeff Johnson. Guys, before we get started, I want to give a moment of silence and a quick shout out to the family of Shad Gaspard. As you guys know, there was a horrible accident over the weekend when Shad and his son got caught in a riptide off the California coast. They were able to save his son, thankfully, but unfortunately, he didn't make it. There has been a search the last couple of days for him, and he was found this morning on the shore. So, you know, unfortunately, this is a horrible situation. I hate to see this. He's only 39 years old. For those of y'all that remember Crime Time from the mid-2000s, you know, they were a very fun team and a lot of charisma, a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, I've heard nothing but good things about Shad. So I do want to give a quick moment of silence for him before we start. All right, I appreciate that, guys. But for tonight, it is AEW Dynamite time, and we have a couple of big matchups on the horizon. We got in our main event, Sammy Guevara taking on Broken Matt Hardy. We have the AEW World Champion Jon Moxley taking on Ten from the Dark Order. We have Orange Cassidy taking on Rey Fénix, which is a match I'm looking forward to. That match is going to be so much fun. Definitely a mesh of styles there. And it's going to be a crazy one. And then in women's action, we have the AEW Women's Champion Nyla Rose teaming with Dr. Britt Baker, taking on Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander. So that's going to be a big match. Hikaru Shida is the number one contender, and we learned last week that she will be taking on Nyla Rose at Double or Nothing. We're also going to get some clarification on exactly what this Stadium Stampede match is going to be at Double or Nothing between the Inner Circle and the Elite. It's going to be a good show. We're looking forward to it. I hope you guys had a great week. Hope you guys enjoy the show as well. But also, guys, before we start, make sure you guys subscribe to the WWE Podcast on all your podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. You know, wherever you guys listen to get your podcast, make sure you guys download and subscribe. For all you guys on Apple Podcasts, make sure you give us a 5-star review, leave a review for us, let us know what you think of the shows. You know, everybody does a really good job on this feed and works really hard. So we love to hear you guys' feedback. But with that being said, guys, let's get into it and let's start this week's edition of AEW Dynamite. So we kick off the go-home edition of AEW Dynamite with the Exalted One, Brody Lee, and a couple members of the Dark Order in tow. Brody cuts a promo here. That was a pretty good promo. It was a little long-winded at times, but, you know, not too bad of a promo. He stayed out of Vince McMahon mode for the most part. He did ask Ten to take a knee and then kind of yelled at him to take a proper knee, so he didn't like the way he was taking a knee. So a little Vince McMahon-ish there, but, you know, not too bad. But he cuts a promo talking about how, you know, he may seem like he's a god, but he's actually a man. And he says that he has to win this Saturday against Moxley for himself and for the other members of the Dark Order to, you know, to repay them for their loyalty. So I really did dig this promo. You know, it showed a little bit of a different side of him, that, you know, he does lead by example, but, you know, he does, you know, he does this for the other members, and he does it to save them, to help them, to make them better. And that's kind of what they're playing off of here. At least that's the way I took it. But he ends up sending Ten to the ring, and Ten is in action against the AEW World Champion, Jon Moxley. And this was a good match. It wasn't very long. Only lasted a couple of minutes. Ten actually got a little bit of decent offense in, but in the end, Moxley hits a paradigm shift, picks up Ten, hits the Gotch-style pile driver, and hits another elevated paradigm shift all on Ten to get the victory. So Moxley making a statement, using these different moves to try to draw out Brody Lee. After the match, Moxley puts Ten's arm in a chair, grabs another chair, and tells Mr. Brody Lee, "You have 10 seconds to answer me, or we'll break this man's arm." Brodie Lee comes up on the Tron and says that unfortunately sacrifices have to be made, and I will see you on Saturday, and then leaves the building. So Moxley decides to hit Ten in the arm and break his arm, and that's exactly what he did. So, good segment here all around. Real hot opening to open up Dynamite. They did say that this will be the main event for the show this weekend, which I do think is the right call. I had been saying that possibly the TNT Championship could be the main event, but this is the AEW Championship, and they've done a great job of showing that it is the main title. It is the number one thing in the company. And even though we are getting this big match between Cody and Lance Archer for the TNT Championship, it is all about the AEW title and the match between Moxley and Mr. Brodie Lee. So, going to be a great match. I'm looking forward to that match this weekend. And, they've pretty much stayed apart for the most part. And not a whole lot of physicality besides when Brodie Lee asked for the match initially. So this has been good. This has been a good buildup, and I think both guys are going to have a really good match come this Saturday. Up next, we got MJF, who is undefeated in the year 2020, taking on Marco Stunt. And this match was made last week. On Saturday we have MJF taking on Jungle Boy, which I expect to be a pretty awesome match. These guys have some really good chemistry together, and they had some really good matches in the past. So I expect that this match could be a show stealer coming up on Saturday. But before that, we got MJF versus Marco. The first half of this match was pretty much MJF just embarrassing Marco, doing a move to him, laughing at him, posing to the crowd. At one time, he made Marco pick his nose and eat it. So MJF just being MJF, doing MJF things. But Marco ended up getting the upper hand eventually. Low bridged MJF to the outside, threw MJF into the stairs, and hit a top rope Dragon Rana that sent MJF face first in the turnbuckle. Marco ended up getting a little bit of offense in, and it started looking really good, but MJF hit him with a big forearm to stop his momentum, hit the double underhook shoulder breaker, and then the salt of the earth submission to get the win. Afterwards, MJF just kept berating Marco, saying that, he was going to give him one of his rats, like he said, but he knows that nobody would ever touch Marco's lips, but he has something that he could kiss, and he hits him in the face with the Dynamite Diamond ring. So definitely adding a lot of fuel to the fire for the matchup coming up this weekend between MJF and Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus did make the save, and MJF and Wardlow bailed. But we kind of had a face-off between Wardlow and Luchasaurus, which kind of was intense. And that's definitely a matchup I didn't know that I wanted until I saw them face-to-face. And I'm like, okay, these two big behemoths standing face-to-face, I like this. This is a match that I can get behind. So I guess, maybe this is a match that we're going to see eventually, hopefully pretty soon. Because it's definitely one that would be very interesting. So that's a little bit down the road. But first, we have Double or Nothing to get to, and it's gotten personal between Jungle Boy and MJF. So to make a prediction, I guess I should make a couple predictions heading into the show this weekend. I would probably gonna go with MJF to win it. He's had a lot of momentum. I could see him challenging Cody if Cody wins the TNT Championship. They could get back to that, and we put even more heat on MJF leading up going forward. I should say that he makes it where Cody can never go for the AEW title again, and then takes the TNT title from him. That would just add to the heat of MJF and add to this rivalry between those two. So I could see them going that direction, but I do definitely expect MJF to get the victory at Double or Nothing this weekend. But it should be a great match. Like I said, it definitely has show-stealing potential. I think Jungle Boy is an incredible performer. I think the future is super bright for him. I'm a big fan of him and all of Jurassic Express. So that's definitely one of the top matches I'm looking forward to this weekend. So up next, we got a pre-taped package from somebody we haven't seen in a long time, and that would be Pac. Pac pretty much gave a warning to Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends that the Death Triangle are still together. They're still around, and they, you know, they will be back together sooner than later. Pac pretty much was just talking about how he's been stuck in home. He hasn't been, you know, hasn't been able to come back to AEW, but he will be back soon. Very intense promo by him. I love the work he's been doing as a heel. You know, even going back to his King of the Cruiserweight stuff in WWE, I really enjoyed it, because when he was Neville, for the longest time, he was a babyface, and which he was a good babyface. He was very exciting, but when he turned heel, people really didn't know what to take about it, because he really hadn't had that persona. Well, that was a couple years ago, and he's been the heel Pack for a long time now since then, and he really is a top tier heel, one of my favorites in AEW. He's so exciting to watch, and you know, I've seen documentaries on him, and he seems like the nicest guy in the world. You know, he's a family man. You know, he loves his roots. And it's cool to see this other side of him and the way he portrays it. So I'm happy to see him back on the TV. I'm happy to see him back in AEW. Hopefully he'll be back in the States sooner than later. We'll be able to get him in the arena, because he adds definitely a different dynamic to the show. But after this, we got the match I've been looking forward to throughout the night between Orange Cassidy and Rey Fénix. This match came to be last week when Orange Cassidy was standing on the cage, or on the cage, on the stage, I'm sorry, and Rey Fénix flies in out of nowhere and just hits this Liu Kang-style Mortal Kombat flying kick to the head that just dropped Orange Cassidy. It was brutal. But it was a really cool visual. But that last week's pretty much what set up this week. Orange Cassidy comes out first, and Fénix actually tries the kick again, but Cassidy nonchalantly kind of steps out of the way, and Fénix misses him. And so it was a little nice little throwback to what happened last week. But this match was awesome, very fast paced all the way through. Both guys got a lot of good offense in. I forgot, but I didn't forget. How good Rey Fénix actually is. He might be the most athletic wrestler around right now. And I know there's some good ones, but he just makes everything look so good, look so effortless, just flawless in everything that he does. He hit a middle rope springboard leg drop from the outside to in the ring, and he got so much air. It just looked like it had so much impact. It was absolutely incredible. There's a lot of spots in this match. You know, it was very, like I said, very, very hard hitting, very back and forth. Both guys had some great showings. At one time, Orange Cassidy hit a diving DDT that just planted Fénix. It looked perfect. This is a match that I wouldn't mind seeing again. I wouldn't mind seeing it being a feud going forward between these two guys, because they could put on some incredible, incredible matches. But at the end of the match, Kip Sabian actually came out with a ladder, set the ladder up right outside the ring on the stage, and set up the top. That was enough to distract Orange Cassidy, that Fénix hit a low blow and then hit a rollout cutter to get the victory. So Rey Fénix making his return to Dynamite, in-ring return to Dynamite, to get a victory over Orange Cassidy. After this, everybody coming up in the casino ladder match pretty much showed up, besides Luchasaurus. He's the only one I didn't see that came out, but he was on the show earlier. And everybody just came out hitting dives on each other. Darby Allin also didn't come out. But also, I didn't mention to you guys that I did a video package on him right before this as well. That was really cool. So make sure you guys check out that video package for Darby Allin heading into the ladder match this weekend. But SCU came out. They dumped Sabian off of the ladder. Fénix hit this huge springboard dive to the outside. Actually had a pretty rough landing. Landed hard on his back on the outside, but it looked like referee Rick Knox checked on him and looked like he was okay. Colt Cabana jumps on the apron, hits a springboard moonsault. Orange Cassidy flies over the top on everybody. It was insane. It looked like a car wreck. It was just intense. Bodies flying everywhere. And Orange Cassidy was the one standing tall to end the segment. He was sitting on the bottom of the ladder, putting his thumb in the air. So you know, I've been saying since they first announced this match that Scorpio Sky was going to be my pick, because I think there's a bright future ahead of him in a singles competition. But when they added Frankie Kazarian in this match, it really made me take a step back, because I'm like, okay, why would they put two members of SCU in this? So I don't know if there's going to be some kind of dissension between the two, possibly. I just see one guy maybe unintentionally costing the other one from winning this match. Orange Cassidy is a possibility. I can see him winning this. I think Orange Cassidy is one of the most, you know, famous and over wrestlers in the company right now. So it might be a good idea to put this chip on him. And, you know, he's so nonchalant and, you know, he could use this type of power anywhere. And you would never know when it's going to be because he acts the same no matter what. But I think my pick's actually going to be Darby Allin. I think Darby has proven that he can go with the big boys, you know, with the main eventers. He's already had some great classic matches with Cody Rhodes, and I could see him against a Jon Moxley or a Brody Lee. I think either one of those would be great matchups for Darby Allin. So I think Darby Allin is going to be my pick to win this. There is a mystery person in this match that has not been announced yet. I think that person's a possibility to win too. There's a couple of names that I've thought about that it could potentially be. One of them is Brian Cage, formerly from Lucha Underground and Impact Wrestling. I could see him being in it. But my pick actually is going to be Zack Ryder. Ryder was recently released from WWE. He's going by his real name now. And I think he's on his way. I think he's on his way to AEW. I think this would be the best way to bring him in. It would get a nice pop. I'll say pop from the crowd. It'll get a nice reaction from everybody at home for him to show up. And I think that he could possibly win it. I know he is friends with Cody. He's mentioned that on Twitter recently. So if I have a pick, I would say it's going to be Zack Ryder. But a dark horse I'll throw at you guys. I don't expect it to be this guy, especially with it being a crazy ladder match and him having, you know, some injury issues and him being older. But I think Sting's a possibility also. Like I said, I don't quote me to say, oh, you know, Jeff on the AEW podcast said that Sting's going to be the mystery guy. I don't expect it to be him. But if he does show up, I think it'd be a capacity where the other eight guys are wrestling. They're exhausted. All of a sudden, the lights go out. They come on. Sting's in the middle of the ring. Everybody freaks out. And that's when somebody sneaks up the ladder and grabs the chip. So I think that's how it would go if it was somebody like Sting. I wouldn't expect Sting to take any like big bumps, nothing off a ladder, no, nothing like that, you know. So it is a small possibility they could go that way, but I don't see it happening. So my pick is going to be Zack Ryder coming in. Matt Cardona, I think is his real name. I could be wrong on that. But he's my pick. He's the one I think is going to come in and take that spot. But this was a fun segment on Dynamite altogether, guys. Everybody had looked really good. Orange Cassidy stood tall, and I go by the saying that if you look good on television, if you're the one sitting on television, you're going to lose on the pay-per-view. So as much as we love Orange Cassidy, I think with him standing tall tonight, he's not going to win the title the title opportunity at Double or Nothing. I think it's going to be Darby Allin, but this match is going to be awesome. It's going to be insane. It's going to, for those of you real quick that haven't heard the rules of it, two people are going to start every 90 seconds. Somebody else is going to come in to join the match, but the match can end at any time. So anybody can run up that ladder and grab it before everybody comes out. So that's what I was talking about with Sting, is that Sting could be the last person to come to the ring and, you know, he wouldn't have to really take any bumps, anything like that. So it is possible. The way this is structured, it is possible, but I just don't see it being him. But this is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be an awesome match. It's very unique. It's really easy to follow. It's going to be a train wreck. I mean, there's a lot of good high flyers, great wrestlers in this match. So definitely one of the top matches that everybody, including myself, is looking forward to at Double or Nothing this weekend. All right, so up next, we got our women's tag team match of the night, pitting Dr. Britt Baker and the AEW Women's Champion Nyla Rose, taking on the team of Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander. This was a very interesting match. Definitely the tale of two halves of the match. I'll explain to you guys what I mean. I thought the first half was really good. All four ladies looked great. Britt actually didn't get in the match a whole lot. The first, about a third of it or so, she kind of stayed on the apron and let Nyla Rose do all the work. But Shida and Stalin ended up getting the upper hand. And ended up throwing Nyla Rose in the corner and then threw Britt in the same corner, and Shida hit a running senton into it and ended up dropping both of them. Well, after this happened, Britt Baker was sitting down in the corner, and Statlander picked up Nyla Rose onto her shoulders and hit a Death Valley driver, attempted to hit a Death Valley driver onto Britt Baker in the corner. But when Nyla Rose landed, she landed right on Britt Baker's knee, and Baker's knee was kind of bent up, and it, when Nyla Rose landed, it threw her knee to the side, and it looks like Britt got legitimately injured. Because Nyla Rose is, you know, over 200 pounds. She's a bigger girl, and she landed real hard on Britt's leg. And right off the bat, it kind of looked like something was wrong. You could tell that Britt was really hurting. Sheeta hit a couple of moves on her, but you could tell, or not Sheeta, I'm sorry. Statlander hit a couple of moves, but you could tell that the chemistry, you know, kind of wasn't there, that the something was definitely wrong. Nyla Rose ended up making a save, and she drug Britt Baker to their corner and tagged herself in. So as soon as she did that, I realized that's when the injury was legitimate. A couple of doctors worked on Britt on the outside, and the match kind of just never got back on track again. There was a couple of missed spots, a couple of mistimed things. But I don't hold it against the women, though. You know, anytime something like this happens, it can completely throw off your psyche, and it can make, you know, the match more difficult. So I thought the women did good for the situation they were in. Nyla ended up hitting a beast bomb on Sheeta to get the victory. But, you know, the big story coming to this is the health of Britt Baker. As I'm recording this, I did see something that Tony Schiavone pretty much said that the injury is legitimate, that she is hurt. So we'll have to keep an update on that. Hopefully we'll get an update on Britt's condition at Double or Nothing this weekend, or even before that. But it didn't look good. It looked like a really bad injury. You know, you could tell she's in a lot of pain. She couldn't stand on the leg. So you know, best wishes to Britt Baker. Hopefully this isn't too serious. Hopefully it's not a torn ACL or, you know, a broken leg or anything like that. That hopefully this is just a stinger and she can come back from it very soon. But back to the match. Like I said, guys, it was a tough situation for them. The match was going really well until the injury happened, and I think it kind of got in everybody's head, and it kind of made it a little sloppy there towards the end. But you know, it's live TV. It happens. I don't hold it against any of the women in the match. But after the match, Nyla grabs a table and sets it up, picks up Sheeta and lays her on it, and then she goes to the top to hit a splash, but Chris Statlander stops her, and Sheeta gets off the table, goes to the top and hits a superplex on Nyla Rose through the table. And so Sheeta gets the upper hand heading into Double or Nothing this weekend. And as I told you guys earlier, I know this doesn't happen every time, but this is something that I stick with, that if you look good on TV, then you're going to lose at the pay-per-view. And I picked Nyla Rose to win the pay-per-view match anyways. But now that this happened, it kind of makes me feel even more serious about it. I think, you know, they've really put the rocket on Sheeta a lot. She's won, what, 11 or last 13 matches, you know, something like that. But, you know, going into this tag team match tonight that she did lose. But, you know, I think all this is just to make Nyla Rose look even stronger. You know, going against Sheeta, who has been number one for all these weeks, who's been beating everybody. And then I think Rose beats her this weekend and just makes everybody think, well, who's going to beat Nyla Rose? You know, there's nobody on the roster that's going to be able to take that title from her. So, I think I feel pretty solid about this one. I think they want to keep it on Nyla Rose. I don't think they're ready to take it off of her yet, especially since she's been gone because of the pandemic. You know, they really, really haven't gotten a full run with her as the women's champion yet. So I think this is the start of it. So yeah, feel pretty confident that Nyla Rose will walk out Double or Nothing as the women's champion still. After this, we got an interview backstage with AEW champion Jon Moxley. It's a real quick interview. Moxley showed a lot of, you know, he showed intensity in that Jon Moxley type of way, and he pretty much said that, you know, he's going to drop Brody Lee on his head, and he's going to knock him out, and he's going to take his title back, and he's going to leave as the AEW champion this weekend. You know, kind of short, to the point, Jon Moxley style, and, you know, we have our main event set. You know, I guess I'll go ahead and make my prediction on this one. This is probably the last time we'll see both these guys tonight. I think Moxley retains. I don't think it's time for him to lose the title yet. Even though I would kind of dig Brody Lee as the world champion, I just think it's been too soon. I think with the pandemic going on, you know, kind of the same thing with Nyla Rose. We haven't seen that full Moxley run yet. You know, really the only match we've gotten out of him, for, you know, title-wise, was the empty arena match with Jake Hager. So this is kind of the next big match he's had. I don't see him losing the title. So I think the reign of Moxley continues, and whoever wins that casino ladder match is going to be very interesting to see who goes against him, which, obviously I told you guys earlier, I picked Darby Allin. So I picked Moxley to retain and stay your AEW World Heavyweight Champion after this weekend. All right, guys, it is main event time. We got the Spanish God, Sammy Guevara, taking on broken Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy looking to get some retribution after the Inner Circle destroyed his best friend, Vanguard One, last week. This is a really fun match. I really enjoyed this one a lot. They mentioned during the match that Matt Hardy had been wrestling for 27 years, and Sammy Guevara is 26 years old. So Matt Hardy was already in the company or in the professional wrestling business 1 year before Sammy Guevara was even born. So shows how different these two guys are, but these guys had really good chemistry together. This is a really fun match, and some people have wondered, how is Matt Hardy gonna hold going against these younger guys that fly around everywhere in this style, this wrestling style we have in AEW? But he's done a great job, and this was no different. I really enjoyed this a lot. Matt Hardy ended up hitting two different twists of fates in this one. Both of them just spiked Sammy Guevara. The way Sammy Guevara takes the twist of fate is insane. He spikes his head into the mat and it looks brutal. But I really want to talk about Sammy Guevara for a second, because obviously they're putting the rocket behind this guy. He's probably benefited the most, in my opinion, out of the Inner Circle. And this is taking nothing away from Santana and Ortiz or Jake Hager, but Sammy Guevara at one time was kind of known as like a mid-carder. A year ago, he was a part of the very first match in AEW against Kip Sabian, but he was kind of a mid-card guy. Nobody really thought much of him. And when he joined the Inner Circle, he was the one that people were like, why Sammy Guevara? What's so good about him? We don't get it. But he's proven how good he is and how far he's come along in the last year. I think he's one of the best things in AEW. That's my opinion. His facial expressions, his selling, his moves are crisp. I mean, this guy is awesome. I became a huge fan of him over the last year, and I'm going to keep being a big fan of him. And I think he's got a lot of babyface potential too. So if and when this whole Inner Circle thing finally comes to a head, I think Sammy Guevara is the one that's going to benefit the most from turning babyface out of this. And I think a feud between him and a heel Chris Jericho is going to be awesome down the road. But that's still a ways to go, though. That's kind of looking into the future. But we look forward to this weekend. We have our Stadium Stampede match pitting the Elite and Matt Hardy, taking on all five members of the Inner Circle. After this match happened, Matt Hardy, of course, got the victory. Like I said, he goes, gets a chair, and is about to hit Sammy Guevara when Chris Jericho shows up on the big screen. And Jericho, Santana, Ortiz, and Hager have Kenny Omega pretty much not tied up, but they're holding him against one of the goalposts inside the Jaguars stadium. And they throw water on him, and they're kind of messing with him, and Jericho hits him in the stomach with a baseball bat. Well, the camera pans out, and all of a sudden we see the returning Young Bucks jump off some of the stadium seating on top of Santana and Ortiz, and Nick and Matt Jackson are back in full force, and they're laying in shots, but the numbers are still a little too much. The Inner Circle gets the upper hand. All of a sudden, in the background, about 50 yards down the field, you see this figure running as fast as he can into the picture, and all of a sudden you can tell it's Adam Hangman Page making his return back to AEW. He hits a big clothesline on Santana and just starts laying waste to the Inner Circle, and Adam Page is just on fire. Really good to see him back. Really good to see both the Young Bucks back. And the Elite finally kind of get the upper hand. It's the first time we've seen them get the upper hand on the Inner Circle ever, pretty much. It's always been the Inner Circle getting, being on top. But they finally have a big standoff at the end. Both teams back up. The Inner Circle tells them that they'll, that the Elite will get theirs on Saturday. And the closing moment shows the Young Bucks, Matt, and Kenny standing just outside the end zone, and you see the Elite painted in the end zone, and on the big screen above them, you see the Elite everywhere. But the thing to take away from this, though, is that Adam Page did not stay with them. There's a visual of the four members talking about the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Matt Hardy posing, for the camera and doing their poses. But as Adam Page walks behind them, walks away from them. So still some dissension there between Hangman and the members of the Elite. So I think that's going to be the big question going into the match this weekend. In my opinion, this is going to be what takes place. You know, they're going to do in this match what they were going to do at Blood and Guts. We didn't get Blood and Guts, unfortunately, because of the pandemic. And everything that was planned for that, I think, is going to happen here. I think this is where we're going to get the big turn from Adam Page. It's been coming. I've been saying for the longest time that I think Kenny should turn. I'd love to see a heel Kenny Omega. But Kenny's been getting some great reactions. He's been, you know, he's been doing really well. And Page has been gone for a while. And the one thing that I said that kept Page from turning before him was his reactions from the crowd. And he was getting some of the loudest reactions on the show. But now that the crowds aren't there, this would be the time to do it if you're going to turn Hangman. So I think it's going to happen. And I'm going to go on a limb and say that Hangman turns on the Elite. And the Inner Circle wins this match this weekend, the Stadium Stampede match. I don't think it's time for the Elite to get that big victory. I think this is a feud that's going to continue. It probably is the biggest feud in the company. It has the most value. There's so many different matches they can do out of it. And I think it can last a really, really long time. So this isn't going to be a one-off. This isn't going to be the closure of this feud. This feud could last forever. As long as they want to keep the Inner Circle together, they can keep this feud going. So I think this is just kind of the start of it. This is just going to be kind of a stepping stone, pretty much. But I think it is going to involve Hangman turning heel finally. It's going to happen, and the Inner Circle is going to win. I don't see Adam Page joining the Inner Circle. I think it's going to be more of a solo thing, but I think it's going to happen. And then Kenny's going to hold the tag titles by himself. He'll end up losing them to somebody. I guess probably whoever wins the buy-in match between Private Party and the Best Friends will probably end up beating Kenny Omega in a handicap match to win those titles eventually. So that's what I'm predicting. It's just, you know, just the way I see it. That's what I'm expecting to happen. If it doesn't happen, I wouldn't be surprised. AEW does like to change things up and kind of think outside the box a little bit. So it could, you know, they could go a different direction, but I know just from what I've seen, I expect the turn to finally happen. So, guys, Double Nothing's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. There's so many good matches. A couple of them, we don't know what the status is going to be, especially the Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander match with Britt getting her injury tonight. Like I said, I'll have an update for you guys coming up. Make sure to follow me on social media. I'll keep you guys updated on what's going on with her. Hopefully she's okay. Hopefully this is just a stinger and she'll be good to go for this weekend. But you know, it didn't look good. So if you guys haven't seen the injury yet, make sure you go check it out and you guys will know exactly for sure how it looked. But overall, guys, I thought this was a great edition of Dynamite. It was the go-home show. I thought they continued all the storylines really well. And I'm looking forward to this weekend. I think this is going to be an incredible show. It is going to be weird seeing Double or Nothing with no crowd, considering I was in the crowd for Double or Nothing last week or last year. I was there. I saw the debut of Jon Moxley. I saw the Cody versus Dustin match. And I don't see anything this year that's going to be as big as those. You know, this is going to be just a really good wrestling show. And it's going to be weird without a crowd being, you know, having this pay-per-view. We've seen WrestleMania and we saw Money in the Bank recently without a crowd. Those are the only pay-per-views that haven't had a crowd that I can think of. But this is the first AEW one without a crowd. So, you know, one thing that makes AEW special is the crowd reactions and how loud they are and how interactive they are. But with that, there not being one, it's going to be a very, very interesting show. Dynamite's not bad, and they've been able to do a good job by putting other wrestlers in the crowd, but it's going to be very, very weird to do Double or Nothing, you know, especially for me personally. Like I said, being there in person last year to there being nobody in the crowd this year. But I expect a really good show, a lot of great action. It's going to be awesome, guys. I know. So make sure you guys check it out. We'll have a review for you guys. Not sure what day yet. Hopefully it'll be on Sunday. I'll have it for you guys to drop. I'm going to get with Matt and find out exactly how he wants to do it. This is the first pay-per-view that I've done actually as a member of the WWE podcast. Cause if you guys don't remember, I reviewed Revolution, but that was kind of my tryout to get me, to see if I was going to be part of the podcast. So, this is my first one as a member of the WWE podcast. So I'm pretty excited to do it. So, you guys just make sure you subscribe to the podcast and check out everything leading up to it. All the other shows we do, you know, everybody does a great job, and, I will see you guys this weekend for Double or Nothing. Hope you guys have a great rest of the week, and I'll see you then. Take care.